I'm going to say a few words today, try to, and I do ask your prayers concerning creation. Creation is very important. I thought as I was sitting here, Brother Abraham, and I think Brother Christopher, the last time I know of that I spoke when Brother Abraham was there, I think I spoke on the subject of creation. But it's a very important subject. But now, I thought of this when you younger people were up here, and I won't share this with you. You may have heard this before. I don't know. I didn't read this till I was a grown man. But if you young people have you ever sneezed or heard somebody sneeze, and when they sneeze, someone will say "Gesundheit," or they will say "God bless you." You ever heard that? I want to share something with you that means a lot to me that I found out about that, and you may already know it. But when God created Adam, made him out of the dust of the ground, and the Bible says that God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Tradition, Jewish tradition, says that when he breathed into him the breath of life, that the first thing Adam did was sneeze. So you remember that, not just you young people, but everybody, if you didn't already know it. Every time that you hear somebody sneeze, say, "God bless you." And when you say that, remember that breath and all life comes from God. And that's a reminder of that every time that you hear somebody sneeze. And the book of Genesis, normally when we start to read a book, we start at the front of it. And we all would do well if we started at the front of the book. And what we know about God, we start to learn in the very beginning of the book, because that's where we begin to learn about God. The Bible does not go into any kind of detail telling us where God came from. It doesn't try to explain God. It just begins with God, because that's where everything begins as far as we are concerned with God. The scholars tell us that the word that is used for God here, when it says "in the beginning God," that it is a plural word. But we find in the way that it's used, and as we look out throughout all the Bible, that there's only one God. But we come to know and come to understand that there are three persons in the Godhead. We find in the book of Genesis several places, or more than one place, in that first chapter, when God went to make man, he said, "Let us." That means plural. That's not a misstatement. That's not a misquote. "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." There is a triune God. And we come to understand as we look in other places in the Bible that when the Bible says here that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all involved in this work of creation. And we learn, actually, that the greater part, it seems, of the actual work and creation that was done is attributed to God the Son. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, I guess one of the, not the first, but one of the first verses that I learned from memory, just because I repeated it so much, was John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." This was the beginning of creation. Now, this doctrine of creation, I've wrote some things down here, and I hope y'all don't mind. I don't Okay. Well, I was going to say, the older I get, the harder I have remembering stuff. And sometimes if I don't write things down, scriptures and so forth, I may remember and lose my place. But God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. And everything that you see and everything that you behold, it all is created by God. This is something that, when I was a young man, was taken for granted. I started school in 1953. I learned when I was going to the little school I went to in Arkansas that there was a theory, and it was known as a theory called evolution. And we were taught about that theory, but everyone just assumed that what the Bible said about creation was true. And I wrote something else down here that I copied off some time ago. And some of you have read or have heard of the History of the Church of God by C.B. and Sylvester Hassell. And that work was published. They were two Primitive Baptist preachers, and that work was published in the, I believe, around 1880-something. And I read on a page in that book, this is what he said concerning creation and concerning science. There's no difference between true science and what the Bible says about creation. The Bible does not contradict, the science does not contradict the Bible, and the Bible does not contradict science. But he quoted the three leading American geologists, and this would have been in the 1880s, this would have been about 150 years ago maybe. One of the men was President J.W. Dawson. He was president of McGill University in Montreal, Canada. There was a man who was a professor called James D. Dana of Yale College. You've all heard of Yale College. And a professor Arnold Guyot of Princeton College in New Jersey. And you've heard of Princeton University. And then there also was another man who was called W.C. Kerr, was a professor and a state geologist in the state of North Carolina. And this is what he said these men wrote in the year 1882. He had written letters to these men, and they had replied. And this is what they said. They said that they avow their unshaken belief in the perfect scientific accuracy of the first chapter of Genesis. Would to God that we had men in our higher institutions of learning today that would accept this book as being true. Instead, we find that this book is laughed at, it's scoffed, it's ridiculed, and if you believe this book, you're some kind of caveman, someone with caveman mentality. You just are not up to snuff. You're just way in and there's just something wrong with you if you can think that this Bible is true. That's what men think of you, and it hurts, and it's a shame what has become in our country. But I want to encourage you to pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. I heard a sermon that your brother-in-law preached last week on praying for our nation. There have been times before that this nation and other nations, I'm thinking especially of the nation of England, has been in a terrible shape, and God has brought revival. And God can bring revival. Amen. So let us not forget to pray for our nation. There was a time when I was younger, they don't do it anymore, as far as I know. But there was a time when you went to testify in a court of law that you placed your hand on the Bible to swear that what you said was going to be true. And you know why they did that? because people recognized that there is a God, the God of this Bible, and that there was going to come a day that they were going to all stand in judgment before the God of this Bible. And so therefore, when they put their hand on the Bible to swear to tell the truth, they're saying that I know I'll someday stand before God for what I'm about to say. They don't do that anymore, I don't think. I'm thankful in some ceremonies, I know when our president and certain officials are sworn in, they'll put their hand on the Bible, but they don't do that anymore. But listen, we learn a lot about God in that very first chapter, that God is the Creator and that we all owe our being to Him. Paul said when he spoke there on Mars Hill that it's in Him that we all live and move and have our being. We learn a lot about the power of God. Can you just imagine the power that it took to create all that you see, all that you can read about, all that you can think about, and things out there that we'll never see, that I don't think our technology will ever be able to see all that God has created. And He just spoke it into existence. He just spoke it. There's a word that I heard a long time ago, and I don't know any language except English, and I'm not very proficient in that, but I like this word. It's a Latin word, ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. Out of nothing. God just spoke it into existence. He made it. Now, when God made the world and created the world, some people have the idea that it was kind of like a clock, you know, that God made it and He just wound it up like a clock, and then He just kind of backs off and just lets it run its course. But that's not what happened. When Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. And then he wrote over in Colossians that Jesus, speaking of Jesus Christ, says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I read some time back the thing that A.W. Pink wrote concerning our relationship to God and how long that our relationship to God would last if it depended upon us. And he said that if you took a fish out of the water and put him in the desert, that fish would last longer than you or I would last if our relationship depended upon us. And do you know how long this world would last if Jesus Christ, if God Himself withdrew His hand? It'd be gone like that. He upholds, He didn't just make it. He upholds all things by the word of His power. We can see a lot about God in creation. We should be able to. You know, we can never know the gospel by just looking at creation, but we can know a lot about God. Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans, he talked about how that the invisible things should teach us something about the eternal power of God. God has given natural man the facility or the faculties of the mind that there's some things that he ought to be able to logically assume. And how could a man logically assume that this world just happened all by itself, or that there were just certain things that were floating around out there and that they all just on their own just kind of came together and it just came to be? I remember reading John Gill in a chapter that he had in a book on the being of God. And he told about a man that was living in a place, a country where God had never been preached, where the gospel had never been preached. But he had began to wonder, well, where did man come from? How did man get here? The place where he lived, or the culture he lived in, they taught that the first man just grew out of the ground like a tree, and that's where man came from. And he thought, well, if that's true, how did he get there? Where did the ground come from, you know? And he said that he looked around him and he could see a boat. He saw how much skill that it took to make a boat. And he thought it took a lot more skill than that to make this world that we live in. And he looked at a bird that was flying. He noticed that, and it took a lot more to make that bird than it did to make a boat. And he came to the conclusion, by this process of logically thinking, that there had to be a being somewhere that had made everything. And he said, whoever that being was, he had to be a good being, because he's given us so many things to enjoy. And he said, he thought to himself, as he thought and meditated upon these things, he thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could know that being that had made everything? And God sent a preacher. And when he heard that preacher preach and tell about that God, he said, that's the God. That's the God that made everything. And he found out through the preaching of the gospel, and because, of course, I believe God was already working in his soul, that he could know that God. But we can learn a lot just by looking, if we would, at creation. We can learn a lot about God and about this great God. We learn a lot about the sovereignty of God. God asked Job a question there in that latter part of the book of Job. He asked him a series of questions, actually. But that one question that he asked him, he said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Can you tell me where you were when God laid the foundation? In other words, you weren't there. Who was there? Who was there to help God when God laid the foundation of the earth, when he created everything? Where were you? Who was there to help God? Who was there to advise God? And the answer is no one. When God did it, he did it by himself. He didn't need help. And God still didn't need help today. He allows us some... God... It's a blessing to us if God can use us to do something, but it's God using us at his own pleasure. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to help him. And of course, we learn a lot about the wisdom of God. Several times through that first chapter, when it would talk about the different things that God would make. And by the way, God made the earth in 6 days, not because it took him that long to do it, that he had to have that amount of time. God did that for a purpose too. He could have made it, he could have done everything in an instant if he had wanted to. But when he had made everything that he had made, it said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. I've thought of this a lot. Have you ever had some kind of project that you were going to do? It may have been a big project. Some of you men here, maybe women too, I don't know, you may be builders. You may build large buildings. But you'll have project. It might just be a small project that you have around your house. I know a fellow I work with back about a year ago, he built a house. He took off work that he was of the regular job and took off several months to build a house. And I talked to him after he got through with it, and he said, man, he said, I didn't know it was going to take me that long. But he said, you know, after we started making changes, and we was doing this, and he said, and then when we got through, he said, if I'd have known what I was going to do when I first started, said I would have done it differently. Have you ever started any kind of project like that, and when you got through with the project, you thought, now I did it exactly the way I wanted to. I knew all that I was going to do. There was not anything that happened that was a surprise to me. No. We always say, you know, I wish I had done this different. Or if I had known, I would have done this different. God doesn't work that way. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He did it exactly the way he planned to do it. And when he got through with it, he didn't have to say, if I'd have, you know, I would have done this different if I'd have just been thinking. No. God is an all-wise God, and what God does, he does it because that is the way that is to be done. I've heard people say sometimes, you know, about salvation, well, you know, God could have done this. No, he couldn't. Because the way that God has worked our salvation is exactly the way that it had to be done, because God is the all-wise God. And he did it, and he did it. We see something about, there's a lot of things, I'm just making some observations here, but we see things about God being an eternal God. We cannot understand, I cannot understand, no one can fully understand eternity. Eternity is something that I believe in, but I can't understand it. I told this story, I think maybe Abraham and Chris remember it. But I heard a story one time about a preacher that was preaching on the Bible and was talking, just he kind of was getting in the spirit, and he had a congregation that was very good to follow him along, and, you know, encouraging as he was preaching, and he said, as he was thinking about the cross, he said, let's go back before the cross. And the congregation encouraged him, well, go on back, preacher. He said, now let's go on back before there was ever an Adam in the world, before man was ever created. They said, go on back, preacher. He said, let's go on back before the world was ever made. And they said, go on back, preacher. He said, let's go on back before there ever was a God. And somebody in the back said, preacher, you've gone too far now. You better come on back. We can't go back to a time when God was not there. God has always been. The phrase, you know, he used this a lot of times in the Bible, but you know when he called Moses to go back and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses said, well, who am I going to say that sent me? He said, you say that I am, that I am. That he just is. He's God. And he always has been God. But when we look at what God has made, this eternal, powerful, mighty, all-wise, and loving, merciful God, when we look at all that God has made, I think the hymn writer summed it up when he said, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! great God. Now, I'm going to sit down just a minute and then let Brother Jimmy have it. But I've got to say something else, Brother Jimmy. What an awesome thing God did when he made the world, creation. But you know what? God was doing something even greater than that before he ever made the world. Before the world was ever created, there was something that was taking place. Something that involved you and me. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us," that's God's people, "in him," that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world, before the world ever began. Before God ever did that great work that we've just talked about and meditated upon, before God did that, there was something that took place in eternity past. He chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the world ever began. Now you think about that. All of the thought that God put into making this world, if we could think of it in those terms, but before he ever did that, he had on mind his people. There was a council, I believe, and I love to meditate and think about this. There was a council that took place in heaven in eternity, or not in heaven, before the heaven was ever created. I don't know where God was, but before he ever made the world, there was a council that took place. Paul, when he wrote to the letter to Titus, he said, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Now, who was there for God to make a promise to before the world ever began? There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The only way that I can understand it in any way at all is to try to put it in human terms. And that's the only way I know to put it. But there was a council that was held in heaven, and God the Father chose a people to save. He chose a people to save. Set his love upon his people, and he gave them to the Son to redeem. And just listen, the many verses that we could think of in the Bible, but Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Everyone that the Father gave to the Son, and that was in eternity, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." I'm going to close with this verse. This is a verse, Brother Jimmy, that your dad had us all to memorize there at Friendship Primitive Baptist Church several years ago, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. The last word in verse 8 is God. God, and then beginning in verse 9, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before the world began. That's the last verse. One more thing I'm going to say. Years ago, a man that was a relative of yours named Lowell Miles, he attended a Primitive Baptist church in Paris, Arkansas, where H.D. Fulmer was a pastor, who also was his first cousin. And Lowell was not, even though his mother, he had been gone, taken to a Primitive Baptist church when he was a boy, he had not continued to attend there and knew little about him, I guess. But he was invited to go, and he went and attended a service at the Primitive Baptist Church there in Paris, Arkansas. And after the service, one of the deacons there named Ben Ewing, he asked Lowell, he said, "Well, Lowell, what'd you think about our service?" And Lowell said, "Well," he said, "I liked it pretty good, I guess okay," but he said, "I just think God give everybody a chance." And this brother gave an answer that I think if I had studied for 10 years, I couldn't have given a better answer than what he gave. Real simple answer, though. Think of that verse we just said. He said, "Lowell, God don't save people by chance. He saves them on purpose." He saves them on purpose. I thank y'all for the time that I've got to be here, and appreciate it very much, and look forward to what we're about to hear. God bless.